Good evening, folks. Sorry we're running a few minutes late here. Always had that fear something was going to go wrong. Just watch that little circle spin. Nothing happens. Anyway, we're here now. So we're glad that you've joined us. Hope people didn't give up and shut it off. we're going to be talking here tonight, lesson number 5 in becoming a contagious Christian. Identifying the Antichrist, or the fakes, if you will. Let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have together tonight to look at your word, and we do pray that you'll continue to help us to have an understanding of your truth, and that we'd be able to apply, make application to our own hearts and lives, and that we be alert to Satan and his tricks, and even the people that he might use to trip us up along the way. And we thank you for your help now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we mentioned there's some fakes out there, and read about a fellow who lived in New York City, and he and his wife, as you might guess, had a lot of visitors, and they enjoyed taking their guests to show them around the sights of the city. And usually one of the places that they would end up was in Chinatown. They enjoyed the food there, good food. And there was a shop that they usually would take them to as well. And without a doubt, the most popular item there was a $10 Rolex watch. And virtually every guest went home with one of them. And they looked real. And as long as you didn't look at them too closely, you'd be pleased with it. Although one of the problems about the watch was they were not accurate. You really didn't want to use it for a watch to know the time because it didn't give you the correct time. It was kind of worthless. It wasn't worth the $10 that it cost. And, you know, not only are there fake Rolex watches out there, and again, one of the reasons people buy fake ones is because there's real ones. And wherever there's something that's real, you're going to find a cheap knockoff somewhere or another. Whether it's Nike tennis shoes or something else, somebody else is going to make a fake and try to pass it off as something good. And Jesus warned his followers that there would be no shortage of false prophets in the world, and that we ought not to be surprised at them. They come in as wolves in sheep's clothing. And we need to be alert to them, lest we get tripped up somewhere along the way. And we're told there in Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." Okay, so we see that there's some wolves out there trying to be something else. Well, if you were with us here last week, you may remember we're in 1 John chapter 2, if you have your Bibles close by. Last time, John had warned us about the world, and we were alerted to the fact that the world, the flesh, the devil, those are our enemies. Those are the ones that are working against us. We need to be alert to that. We saw, too, that there were some temptations. The temptation, the lust of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things can, the temptations come in a variety of different forms, and yet because they work, Satan continues to use them. It's rather amazing the number of different tools that Satan has in his toolbox. And he has things like discouragement and fear and all kinds of other ones that he uses on people. Why? Because they work. And but he doesn't just stop with things. We see here tonight that he uses the antichrist, the false teachers. He uses people too. And this has been going on since the church began. And Paul warned the Ephesian elders of that, and in his welfare address. It says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, He says, after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock or the church. Okay, so he says, be alert. They're coming. The enemy is coming. Verse 30 goes on to say, also, if your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. So they're going to be coming out looking for you to try to drag you away from the truth and into error. And Paul's prediction was accurate throughout the church age, in which we're still in. There are many people today that are not necessarily contagious Christians. They're contagious antichrists, the ones that we need to be alert to, kind of like that virus. You know, you get somebody that's got that, and they're contagious, you want to stay away from them. Well, we need to be alert to these false teachers as well. And so in our time here, looking at the antichrist in this passage, we're going to see two characteristics of the antichrist. And then, Lord willing, next week, we're going to look at the two characteristics of a true believer. So we get the false and the true. And actually, we're just going to look at one side of this, the antichrist. And again, if you have your Bibles there, we're going to looking at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. It says, little children, we've heard him say that before. The idea is little born ones. He's talking to fellow believers here. He says, it is the last time, and ye have heard that the antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would not, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest or made known that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. So John begins here speaking to the little children. And a couple of things I want to just mention, those using the books here, a couple of things I guess I differ with, or at least I want to explain as we go along here. He's saying this last time refers to the time between Christ's first coming and second coming. And some people, I think, mistakenly refer to the rapture as the second coming. And it's not. They're not the same thing. The rapture, Christ comes as far as the clouds, the trumpets sound, and we're caught up to be with the Lord. He only comes as far as the clouds. Whereas the second coming, that comes after the tribulation time in which Christ comes back to earth, feet on the ground, sets up his kingdom. But he's saying we're closer to this than we ever have before. And John writes here, he says there in verse 18, he says, and ye have heard the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. Now, we know that there's going to be kind of the Antichrist during the tribulation time. He's going to be one that's empowered by Satan, and he's trying to set up his own kingdom, you know, in place of Christ. He's referred to as the man of sin there in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And it also asks, it says, what is the rest of that verse tell us that will happen before Christ's coming? He says, well, again, there's many antichrists. Okay, so what's he referring to here? Well, again, we're not talking about the man of sin, the antichrist, the beast that's going to be there in the tribulation time, but they're going to be doing some of the same kind of work. The antichrist, they're going to be agents, if you will, of him. They are going to be false teachers. And if you're familiar with the language here, the prefix anti means someone that is either against or in place of, a substitute for Christ. And that's really what they're trying to do. They're trying to sub in for him. And He goes on to write, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us, all of us. And it says they went out from us. And some take that, and I've heard of other preachers using that on people that left their church. They were basically mad at them. And they said they left, well, they just weren't of us. And they may go down the road and start another church. Well, sometimes that does happen. I've heard of this. You know, you've got Galilee Baptist Church, and then you have Greater Galilee Baptist Church a couple blocks right down the road, and then a even greater Galilee Baptist Church a few more blocks on down the road. That can, and it probably has happened at times, but I don't think that's what's going on here. And we're, how we're able to detect the Antichrist is not just the fact that they left the group, they left the church. Doesn't mean they left a particular denomination or a church, but they left the fundamental doctrine of Jesus Christ. They either didn't believe or they no longer believe that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood, that he was a substitute for us there on the cross. There's somewhere in there that they're denying the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look there in verse 19, it says they would no doubt, and if you, some of your Bibles, it depends on what version you're using there, that no doubt is in italics, and that means that it wasn't in the original writing. They inserted that in there, hoping to make it have more meaning. But you could really take that out, because it's saying that the verse says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. And so they left because they didn't believe the same as the people that were there. And I realize there are some people that leave churches due to doctrinal differences of one kind or another. But we need to understand not everybody that leaves a church is an antichrist. Real believers do leave churches for a variety of reasons. And if we had a lot of time, I'd give you some of those. Some of them you might snicker at, but you hear all kinds of things. You know, people want to leave. Any old excuse will do. But they leave for a variety of reasons. Some of them, again, it's for doctrinal, but doesn't mean that they're all rejecting the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And but here, what it's referring to is these folks were never really saved in the first place. They left the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And you'll come across people that will talk a lot about God, how they go and worship God and so on. You never hear mention Jesus Christ. Folks, you cannot leave out Jesus Christ and be a true believer, okay? It's not just God. The Bible tells us that Satan believes in God and he trembles, okay? And he knows the truth about Jesus Christ too, even though he doesn't want to admit it. But the Bible teaches us that there are not everybody that's in a church, and maybe not even church members, are all believers. But I'm not one to go around questioning everybody's salvation. In our lesson here, it says, how did Jesus recognize true believers, according to Matthew 7:20? And it says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And he goes on to say that we can't judge people, but Jesus says we can be fruit inspectors. Well, yeah, that's true. Of course it is. Jesus said it. But I think our time would be better spent instead of looking at the other guy, trying to figure out whether he's really a believer or not, or trying to analyze his life and his actions and his speech and, you know, basically running him through the meat grinder to see if he's doing everything right. We might spend a little bit more time in front of the mirror and ask ourselves some of these same questions. How do we come across? we might be better off spending some time looking at our own hearts and lives, make sure we don't have that beam in our eye before we start looking for the other fellow. And but here are these guys, they got some, sometimes they got some clever theology, deception of the Antichrist. John writes about this. He says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And this unction has the idea of meaning an anointing. And we see here that we are, as believers, anointed. We have the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll see a little bit more of this as we see the anointing in the Old Testament. We go back there and kind of see how anointing was used then. There was a practice of pouring oil on the head of a person who was being set apart for special service. And we see different individuals where that took place. A priest was anointed before he took on those priestly duties. A king would have been anointed, or a prophet. But when we get to the New Testament, this anointing is not with literal oil, but with the Holy Spirit of God. He anoints us. He sets us apart for special service. He enables us to accomplish things that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And it talks about the fact that we all are ministers. We are priests. Okay, even if you are not a pastor, he says that we have these kinds of responsibilities. And so it's not something that we pray for. And I've heard people praying and asking that they would be anointed and that they would receive the Holy Spirit and such things. Folks, when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at that very moment, there's a lot of things that happen that you don't even realize in most cases. And one of those is that you receive the Holy Spirit. When you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within your heart and life. And you've got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to have. It's not a question how much of the Holy Spirit do you have, but it's really a question of how much of you does the Holy Spirit control. And so there's a learning process once a person comes to know Christ. But he gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do a lot of different things. And one of those is to help to understand the truth so that we don't get tripped up by the false teachers out there today. And there are fake or false teachers, just like we hear about fake news. They make up stuff. Well, so do these false teachers. They deny the Spirit. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. And they try to be teachers. They want to be teachers. And if they can't teach where you're at, they'll go somewhere else. I remember I had a lady at one point, and she was determined she wanted to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, we didn't need any Sunday school teachers. And so she finally convinced her husband that they should go somewhere else so that she could end up being a teacher. And they went to another church, and she expressed her desire there. But as it turned out, they didn't use her as a teacher either. She's a nice lady, and she was a nurse, had a lot of good qualities, but somehow she got tripped up into using the drugs she was handing out herself, and she had a lot of different problems and didn't end up being a teacher. But you know, there are false teachers out there, and it's kind of interesting, the fact that they like to reach out to other people. They don't go out and find the poor lost sinner and work on them. They try to work on church people. And a lot of them are pretty good at that. I remember going when we lived in Albert Lea, Minnesota. And we did a fair bit of door-to-door work. Back then, people would answer the door. Sometimes they even invite you in, sit down, talk with them a little bit. I remember in this one apartment building, it just kind of stuck in my mind that there were a couple of people that we ran into, and, you know, just in conversation, you know, where do you go to church? They'd end up, well, one was a Mormon, another one's a Jehovah's Witness. Well, did you grow up in that? Or, oh, no, and they'd tell us what church they came out of. The thing was, they weren't grounded. They didn't know the truth. And so they were somebody that seemed to be interested in spiritual things. So they were more than happy to let these people come in, have a Bible study with them. And they were false teachers. They led them down the wrong path. They don't believe that, and some of them carry around a book. They call it their Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses have their own Bible where they've changed the words around to match up what they believe. The Mormons bring a Bible around too, but they also have their Book of Mormons. They use that probably as much or more than the regular Bible. And they lead people astray. And part of the reasons for that is they don't know the truth. First, you know, the Holy Spirit will teach us the truth. He'll help us to know truth from error. But you need to know the truth to start with, okay? It's, kind of like a computer. A computer only knows what you've put into it. If you didn't put the knowledge into it, it can't give you the knowledge back. And same thing with the Holy Spirit. He can't remind you of something that you never learned in the first place. So there is some responsibility on our part to learn the Word of God so that we will know truth from error. And I remember hearing this, I've heard it more than once, that when the FBI is trying to teach their agents about counterfeit money, and it's an amazing amount of it out there, but they don't show them all the different types of fake money, okay? They teach them, they give them the real stuff, and they memorize that thing from one end to the other. So that when something comes along that doesn't look right, they'll notice it. They know the fake from the truth. They're using the truth to start with. And folks, we need to know the truth so that we don't get caught up into some of the false teachings that are out there. And it's amazing what's out there. You know, I've come across some people, nice people, but they got involved in all kinds of strange stuff. You know, and they said, Pastor, you really ought to look at this. You ought to look at this video, this YouTube video. I said, well, how long is it? Oh, it's only a couple of hours long. Really? Okay, it better be something good if I'm going to sit down and look at it for 2 hours. You know, and it's like, okay, this is how the world's going to turn upside down on its axis. Now, what chapter and book do you get that out of? Oh, well, you know. And it's amazing what people will believe. And yet, you know, we struggle about believing what God's word says, but they'll buy into hook, line, and sinker some of this other stuff, folks. There's all kinds of fake stuff out there. I should print it off some of the stuff I get email. I don't know how I get on some of these email lists. I mean, it's a lot of this is health stuff. You know, oh, drink this juice in the morning or at night, and the fat will just melt away. Now, if you want to try some of this stuff for me, you buy it, try it, you know, if it works, let me know. Or all the stuff that's come out since the virus, you know, all the things that will help protect you from getting this, you know, and I remember one of them is, you know, be careful, don't take vitamin C. Well, if you look at it a little bit no, it's not that they don't want you to take vitamin C, they want you to take their version of it because they want to sell it to you and you can't buy it in the store. You got to get it directly from them. And, you know, and you sign up and they'll send you some every week or every month or whatever it is for the rest of your life. So there's all kinds of fake stuff out there, folks. And just because we come into a church, we better be listening. And now that you're home, and I don't know, some of you got more time than you had otherwise. Some of you are just as busy as you always were. But if you're sitting around just watching anything that's on the religious channel or the radio, don't buy into everything that's out there because there's an awful lot of fake stuff out there. It's not the truth. And so he wants us to rely upon the Holy Spirit to help teach us the truth. It says he will guide us into all truth. And that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now, in just a closing here today, again, well, this is probably really not divided in half like I'd like, but it's the lesson doesn't work that way either. But just one thing again about these Antichrist groups. Again, as I begin to mention, they rarely go after lost sinners, people that don't seem to have much faith in anything. Instead, they spend their time trying to convert professing Christians, church members of their doctrines. Again, there are people that are interested in spiritual things, but you know, there's a lot of people that don't know that they've been church members for a long time, but they don't read their Bible that much. They don't know all what's true and what isn't. And so they get seduced, they get drawn in to some of these things, and they get led astray. We need to realize who's behind all this, whether it's the Antichrist there in the tribulation time or these little Antichrist agents, if you will, false teachers. Satan's behind all of them. And he doesn't have any original thoughts. He's a copycat. He's an imitator. And whatever God does in a good way, he twists it around to use it in some kind of wrong way. And so he tries to trick people into believing. It's just like how he tricked Eve there in the garden. You know, you take a little bit of truth and a little bit of error and you kind of mix it up, and there's enough truth in there to kind of make it sound good, but you just change a couple little things and pretty soon, you know, it's bad. It's kind of like I got a glass of water here. But if I took that glass of water and said, you know, that's, I'd like to think, 100% clean water, you know, got it out of the tap, okay? And yet if I just went around and picked up a little lint and fuzz off the floor, I mean, you know, just a little bit, and I dropped it in the cup and stirred it up a little bit, anybody want to take a drink? No, it's contaminated. Well, most of it, 99.9% of it's good, clean water. It's just that other little bit that makes it, well, that's kind of what they're doing with the mixing the truth and error. And Jesus called Satan the father of lies there in John 8:44. And his purpose is to lead us astray, teaching us false doctrine. Okay? He can't take our salvation away if we really are a believer. But if he can get us off track somehow or another, get us down some side road so that we're believing error and we're promoting that error to somebody else, that's what he wants to do. And we ought not to accept everything. And I don't have a problem if you listen to me on tonight or Sunday or whenever, and you dig out your Bible and you look at this thing, is it what he's saying, Ryan? That's good. That's good. It tells us, the scriptures talk about the Bereans doing that. And that was a good thing. And so they're counterfeit. They're false teachers. They're counterfeit and false preachers. Whether they're behind the pulpit, whether they're on TV or radio or wherever, it's amazing what's out there. And there's kind of just like the parable of the tares. It talks about there in Matthew 13. Jesus talked about that, where he said that there's the sowers, and Jesus has sown some good seed. Satan comes along and sows some wicked ones in amongst them, and they're all growing up together, and it's hard to tell which one's which. They kind of look alike, and yet we see here there's enough truth mixed in with it that it's hard to always recognize the error. But it's important that we are able to tell the counterfeit. We're able to pick out the fake that separates the false teaching from the truth. And just because it's big, just because it's popular, I mean, there's some stuff on TV. They got stadiums packed full of people. But doesn't mean that everything that's going on up front is coming out straight. And yet he's given us the Holy Spirit to help be that error, that detector, if you will. It's kind of like some people, they'll get something that's, and they're not sure if it's true or not, and they run it by was it Snopes or some of those different sites to see if it's true or false. And we need to run things by the scriptures, God's word. Is it true? Is it not? And these false teachers are not led by the Spirit of God. They're led by the spirit of error, as we will see here in John chapter 4, as we'll get to that here in a few weeks. He says there in 1 John 4:3, "And not every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, wherein ye have heard that it should come, and if even now is ready in the world." So something just to be kind of alert to. And so as you're listening to the radio and the television, have your truth detector antennas up. You make sure that you don't get tripped up somewhere along the way and be led off into error somehow. Well, I trust that you'll be back with us here next Wednesday night, Lord willing, and we'll see what the Antichrists deny, and then we'll look at some of the truths about a true believer. How can we detect one of those? And we'll trust that you'll be able to join us. Again, we invite you to be back with us here on Sunday morning at 9:15 for our Sunday school hour and the morning worship time at 10:30. And again, these should be up on the internet site before too long. Takes them a little bit to get posted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, its truth. We thank you that you give us warnings in your scripture, in your word, that tells us that we can't just believe everything we hear. And to realize that Satan has all kinds of tools that he uses. And he even uses people to drag us away from the truth and to get us involved in some type of error. We pray that you'd continue to help us to be students of the Word of God, that we might know the truth, and that the Holy Spirit might continue to enable us to be truth detectors and to realize there are some that are out there that are truth twisters, and we'll be able to know the difference. We thank you for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen.